Brown to get it in. Does so. Long three for Kyrie's. An air ball. Tatum the rebound. Makes the shot at the buzzer, but it doesn't matter. So the Sixers, for the first time this season, have beaten the Celtics. Came right down to the wire. Jimmy Butler, the killer in the end, and the Sixers win the basketball game.
You missed Marcus in that position there. You did miss Marcus.
I thought the confetti was going to drop tonight. No, I did. No, it's a huge, big win. You know, I'm not trying to take nothing away from him, but I thought the confetti was dropping tonight.
No, I'm not trying to take anything away from Terry Rozier, but I'll make my dumb little joke again. This team just doesn't get it. Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. We also have Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, producing the show today as well, who covers the Celtics, does a great job there. So feel free to chime in. We got McCone as well. A lot of hoop heads here. And that, of course, is the sound of the 76ers finally getting over the Celtics hump for the first time this year. 118-115 was the final in Philadelphia. Chris, your thoughts on this team? I know you were paying attention while you were on vacation, but couple ugly losses in a row at home. Well, you had the Denver Nuggets loss at home and then followed by the loss in Philadelphia to a team that they have completely owned. Go ahead, unload on the Celtics.
Well, I mean, I think, look, you felt so good coming up that West Coast trip, even though they lost the last game to the Clippers and gave up 140 points, the most since 1994. But you felt good, like they turned a corner. Do you feel like they turned a corner now?
No, and no. I was no. no, and sitting in for Felger Maz this week with Jones, and he roundly mocked me, and now he was right to do so. Like, I actually felt better about the first win at home against Sacramento than I did about any win on the West Coast road trip, because it really showed some intestinal fortitude there, because they were down 17 early, 13 in the third,
yeah.
And thanks to Jaylen Brown, who's been phenomenal as of late,
yep.
They end up winning that game, and they win a game that a month ago they would have lost. They followed it with a win that I actually gave them credit for against the Atlanta Hawks, because they're down, well, they blow a 25-point lead to them.
Yeah.
They end up winning that, and Jones is like, you're an idiot for thinking that. But I was like, okay, because again, a month ago, they lose these two type of games. And then they follow it with these two stink bombs against Denver and then this in Philadelphia. Like, no, shame on me for taking the cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a warning sign. I mean, look at this. You lose to the Clippers, you give up 140. Then you give up 120. Then you give up 120. Then you give up 114. Then you give up 118. Their defense has deserted them. You know, it's good news that the Baines injury doesn't seem that bad, and they're talking about him potentially being able to come back on Sunday against the Spurs. But, you know, when I look at their team, I just feel like there's not a lot of accountability. When they win games like the Golden State game, when they have a great trip like they did on the West Coast, then suddenly these regular season games matter. They're meaningful. They make comments about being the team that they're supposed to be. When they lose a game like Philadelphia, suddenly it's like, well, this doesn't mean anything until the postseason. And even before that game, Kyrie was talking about, you know, load management and taking games off. So it's like, when you win, it means something. When you get beat, the regular season's meaningless.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a team that has a ton of accountability?
No. They're front runners. They're front runners, and they have been this whole season. They really have been. And there was so much in that game at Philadelphia to be disappointed by, especially the ejection by Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
But overall, just one of the things I wanted to ask, and it was one of the topics we brought up on Felger Maz this week, is there any perspective change for you now that Philadelphia was able to beat the Celtics? Do you look at them and say, oh, okay, like if they did end up having to meet them now in the Eastern Conference Finals, because you can kiss that three seed away, that you would actually get a better challenge out of them than you did last year?
I think it's a mental hurdle cleared to some degree for the Sixers. I mean, look, there were obviously some extenuating circumstances. You had no Gordon Hayward, and Hayward had played great against them the last time the teams faced off in Philly before the All-Star break, when Kyrie Irving was out. And then Marcus Smart leaving that game was huge, because I think Smart is a guy that gives the Sixers a lot of problems. He gives them a lot of trouble. He can guard multiple guys. He's physical. He's another ball handler for the Celtics on offense, and I think that throws the Sixers off a little bit as well. So you take those guys out of it. There's a reason, I guess, if you're the Celtics, to do what the Celtics are doing, which is essentially to poo-poo the fact the Sixers beat you. But mentally for the 76ers, I think that's a big one. I think that if the 76ers lost that game, no Gordon Hayward, Baines goes down during the game, Marcus Smart gets ejected, they lose that one, you have to kind of be thinking, man, what do we have to do to beat these guys? Because the last time they came into our house and beat us without Kyrie, like, and then they beat us in a playoff series last year that wasn't really, you know, all that competitive in terms of it being a five-game series, and they didn't have Kyrie or Hayward. For them to be able to win this one, I think you let them off the hook a little bit. You let them off the mat. You let them start to feel good about themselves, and that can make a team dangerous.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's a good psychological bump for Philadelphia.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt it is.
But I still don't take them seriously in the big picture. I don't. I think that the Celtics still own them because, like you mentioned, it took Aaron Baines getting hurt. It took Marcus Smart's stupid ejection. It took them not having Gordon Hayward. It took a massive discrepancy in free throws. I think it was 43-13. I'm typically not going to be like, what are the refs looking at? But that's ridiculous that night. It took it all that. And Philadelphia still only beat them by 3 points. Like, I'm sorry. I still think they're a poorly coached team that take a ton of terrible shots. So I don't know. I'm still not a scared of Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, the 76ers, even with the moves that they've made, bringing in Tobias Harris, bringing in Jimmy Butler, I still don't think they match up particularly well with the Celtics. And this is one of the teams where the Celtics' depth, I think, comes into play. The 76ers don't have a lot of depth. They don't have a lot coming off that bench. They're very reliant on their starting five. And within that starting five, there's inconsistency in three-point shooting. Like, Simmons isn't even going to take them. You know Redick will take them. Butler can make them. You know, Harris is a good three-point shooter. I don't think he's shot particularly well for the Sixers, at least not against the Celtics. And so when you're relying so much on that starting five and you have sort of spotty perimeter shooting, that's a good matchup, I think, for the Celtics. And it still is. But the other part of this loss is, take the 76ers out of it and that whole thing. Like, you had a chance to really sort of stake your claim and move up to the 3 seed, and you didn't do it. And now you're pretty much relegated to being the 4 or the 5 seed and seeing Milwaukee in the second round.
And this is why I found the comments by Kyrie Irving before this game to be repulsive, really. Like, dude, you just don't get it. Where he's talking about, and we'll replay them, but you've all heard them by now, I would imagine. And I thought, it's funny, there was a progression, and McCone, you were in too. Like, we first read about them because it was the beat guys, I think it was Jay King at The Athletic that first had them. It's like, ooh, that reads bad. Then we got the sound, and it's like, oh, God, that sounds awful. And then the video component with it, when you see his face, they're like, nah, man, like, I'm definitely taking games off. Like, oh, dude, you just don't care. You don't get it. And this just days after Isaiah Thomas, who I thought, at the end was wildly overrated by the fans, but at least he gave you max effort night in, night out. The guy literally, like, bled for this team, lost teeth, played after his sister died. Like, you know what Isaiah Thomas brought. You do this, you say this just a couple of days. He doesn't get it. He lacks so much self-awareness. And you had a chance to still play for the 3 seed, like you say, and it was just, whatever. Nah, we'll just see when we get into the playoffs.
Well, it's amazing to me because here's the thing on this, too, before we get to that, is just, the beginning of the year, these guys were juiced to be a part of this team, and they were juiced about what this team could accomplish in the regular season
right. And
the postseason. And now the moment they failed during the regular season, it's like, oh, the regular season never meant anything. Instead of owning up and taking ownership of the fact that you underachieved, and I'm going to tell you this right now, I hope the Celtics go into the postseason, and I hope they win the NBA championship. But what I do not want to hear from them or any Celtics fans is a regurgitation of the Patriots sort of underdog take that nobody believed in us right. And you didn't think we could do it and all this other crap. Because if people didn't believe in you or think you could do it, you know whose fault that is from a Celtics standpoint?
Their own.
Your fault. You put yourselves in this position. You've underperformed in the regular season. You didn't get the job done. So if you somehow flip the switch, air quotes, in the postseason, I don't want to hear a bunch of backbiting about people doubting you, because all the doubting was legitimate and your success in the playoffs would only heighten your underachievement in the regular season, which is fine, because at the end of the day, if you're hanging a banner, I can live with it. But what I don't want to hear is sort of the chirping and the backbiting, which this team does a lot of, about nobody believing them and proving everybody wrong, when the reality was it just took you that long to get your act together and to really care.
Brian Robb, BostonSportsJournal.com, covers the Celtics for them, also producing today's show, the hardest working man in show business. Are you fed up with having to cover this collection of underachievers?
Yeah, it's getting close down to the wire here, guys, to pull it together. I'm more concerned, well, first off on Kyrie, I see your guys' points on that. Like, the problem for him is he's done so much damage just with what the stuff he said all year long, that this comment on the surface shouldn't be a big deal. Like, of course you're going to take time off, but saying it again, like the way he said it,
the tonality,
exactly.
Bad.
Just like Kyrie, have you said it, Jim? Self-awareness. Like, you've done better the last few weeks. Things were turning around here. Now you go back to this, not good. But my bigger issue, guys, now I don't know, like the defense.
Yes,
they're 20th in defense, guys, since February 1st. Like in the league, that's the worst out of all playoff teams. And I don't know when it's going to, like, Baines has been back. Like, when is this going to turn around here miraculously? And your favorite guy, Jim, Marcus Morris, I feel like I was at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
At the end of that game, defending Simmons, like, well, and
Tatum,
no chance there.
And Tatum was brutal in that game, too. And a lot of it, so they lose Baines, and now, you know, the reports that they've signed Greg Monroe to a 10-day contract. Yes, I'm sure that's going to be the difference. But am I wrong to be yelling at my television in that last game, the loss to Philly, B-Rub, where I'm like, can you give some token minutes to Robert Williams? Like, I don't expect him to be a starter or anything like that. But when you're getting killed in the glass, you're getting killed in the paint, Baines goes down, you need a big. Why not play him a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't see the harm in trying him out. And I think we might see more of that tonight with all those guys out. But I'm a fugitive. Like, figure out, you know, what you have at the end of your bench instead of ignoring these guys for, like, months. Because Williams did give them something in the first, you know, right, stretches. He's been, you know, you don't trust him, obviously, for the postseason. But, like, this is a perfect time to throw him in a big spot, see what he can do. Instead, you had Morris kind of falling apart at the end there a lot. And, you know, Ojale gave him some good minutes, too, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Shemmy was good.
And he, I mean, Brad kind of said after the game, maybe I should have gone with him more down the stretch. Like, yeah, probably.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. You want to talk Celtics with us here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Mike and Randolph, you're first up here with Gaspar Murray. Hey, Mike.
Guys, what's going on? How are we doing this morning?
Good, thank
good.
You.
Jim, I'm really disappointed you. I can't believe you keep calling him by his full name, Isaiah Thomas. You created the mousy little peanut. I want to hear it every single time. That is the best name of all time. But anyway, a couple of things. First off, what B-Rob said is completely true. The defense is just, it's just a lack of effort. It's just, they're not closing out on shooters. Guys are getting to the basket whenever they want. Marcus Morris makes me want to vomit in my mouth every time I see him on the floor. Because offensively, all he does is take bad shots. Defensively, he's just horrendous. It doesn't matter who he's covering. A big blows by him. A small blows by him. A small goes through him. A big goes through him. He's absolutely useless right now. But with all of that being said,
I got to let you go on that, Mike. I don't know what happened. It sounded like you put a sock in your mouth. But if you want to continue to join the show, 617-779-0985. This is the time to bitch about the Celtics. We'll get more insight on the team ahead of tonight's game against the Charlotte Hornets. It sounds like they have more than a handful of players out for this one, too. But will Kyrie sit as well? Because I'm definitely taking games off. We'll talk to Chris Forsberg, who also covers the team. He of NBC Sports Boston. Joins us next year, Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Taylor Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons near midcourt, and Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose-to-nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's one.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be let off the floor. Well, Embiid's going to be led in the other direction.
Oh my God.
Just ejected Marcus Smart.
Now, I'm disappointed, Marcus, that we need you. Like, Baines is already out. You know, we need him to be in the game.
To be honest, it don't even matter. He said something or not, to be honest with you. You know, the fine is out. They got the old saying, the guy who retaliates on the one that always gets caught. And, you know, I got caught. But like I said, you know, I'll do it over again. You know, I'm going to protect myself at all times, especially if I don't feel like I'm going to protect it out there like everybody else is. So if you don't want to clean it up, I'll clean it up myself.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Jim Murray and Chris Gasper, you 617-779-0985. You want to join the show. So that, of course, the sound of Marcus Smart getting ejected in the loss to Philadelphia, pushing Joel Embiid in the back. And then just yesterday at practice, Marcus Smart essentially saying, yeah, do it again. I got to protect myself. Won't play more comments from Smart here. But joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics, NBC Sports Boston. Good afternoon, Chris.
What up?
So now, so do comments like that from Marcus Smart, some of the other stuff he said yesterday at practice, he'd do the same thing all over again and getting ejected. Does that speak to like an overall lack of self-awareness, you think, for this year's underachieving Celtics team?
Slightly, but, you know, again, it's all part of the Marcus Smart package, right? Like, I get what he's saying. Like, you can't just get pushed around and expect that to be okay. But on the other hand, I would have wished he sort of did the whole, I'm sorry, I put my team in a bad position first and then said, but, you know, here's why I did it. You know, listen, Brad was as disappointed as we've seen from him, and they really had a chance there to squash Philly and make sure that they didn't have any sort of
confidence in themselves and as far as this matchup. And while it's unlikely that you'll see them again, you just don't want to give a team the ability to think like, okay, you can win. And I know you can sit there and say, all right, so didn't have Hayward and Baines and Smart, and they still only won by three, but it's still a win. And that's still one of your rivals, and things are only going to get chippier moving forward if these rosters stay the same. So, you know, if you're the Celtics, you hope Marcus got it out of his system. And I don't know, like the whole, I do wish he had just sort of come out and said, I really put my team in a bad spot, that I shouldn't have done that, considering how difficult we tend to make things on ourselves all season long. I need to be smarter in that situation. If you want to complain about the refs after that, feel free.
Yeah, Forsby, and I just sort of feel like it speaks to something that's sort of been lacking with this team all year long, which is a lack of personal responsibility or accountability. It's not just about saying, hey, I put the team in a bad situation. He's literally defending his response to what Embiid did, which was not the right response in that situation. And he should have said, hey, you know, I shouldn't have lost my cool in that situation. You know, it's frustrating to me with the elbow. I wish the refs would clean it up. And I felt like I had to clean it up myself, but that wasn't the time. Instead, he really did not back down at all from his actions.
And it's Marcus in a nutshell. Like, I don't want to justify it. Like, you're completely right. Like, it's not the right approach. And for me, too, it speaks to sort of adversity. So, like, we've talked about this, I think, throughout the year. The Celtics, when something bad happens, whether it's a dust-up on the floor, whether it's falling behind because another team goes on a run, this team as a whole does not respond well to it. And it's the number one concern I have about this team in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, things are tough. And you're going to run into situations where there's going to be a flare-up. There's going to be a run. Like, how will you respond? And nothing about what I've seen from this team suggests to me that they're ready to handle that. And it's staggering because it's sort of been the hallmark of Brad Stevens' team since he's been here. And they've been able to lean on defense. They've been able to lean on the fact that whatever happens, they can power their way through it. And yet nothing this season suggests to me that that's how they'll respond when that happens in the playoffs. And so they've got to be smarter. They've got to be willing to handle that adversity, fight through it. And, you know, unfortunately, like, listen, you can change the whole narrative of the season if you do that in the playoffs. And we'll look back and we'll just say, man, that was a fluky year. But I'll be interested to see if they are tough enough to handle the playoffs. And right now, you know, with the indications are they are not.
Talking to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here, Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So, Chris, as someone who covers this team, does it bug you to hear what Kyrie Irving said before that game in Philadelphia where, I don't know, he has this cavalier attitude towards seeding when they still could have been playing for the 3 seed that night?
It's what's funny is that, like, a month ago he had said, I'm not comfortable being the 5 seed, right. And then they made no progress, and now he's like, eh, whatever, you know, as long as we're in the playoffs. So, I mean, the team is a walking contradiction at times, and I don't want to come off, like, super negative, because I actually think there's been some encouraging stretches here. I think Kyrie's playing at, like, a crazy level right now.
Yeah.
But I also think that's frustrating to the Celtics. Like, he's really good right now. He's given us a glimpse of playoff Kyrie, and yet you're still losing to good teams, so that's sort of a concern as well. But, you know, like, as far as him resting, I think it got a little bit overblown. Like, I think he's only going to sit out and rest, say, the last 2 games of the year, Orlando, Washington. Like, if they get that far down and their seeding is locked up and there's no reason to trot these guys out there, like, yeah, the postseason is going to be a grind, let him rest. But the way he phrased it and the way he made it sound was he was just going to start picking and choosing nights to take off. And, you know, when you're in the hunt for trying to get that 4 seed, I can understand how that would be frustrating to fans and people that are hearing his quotes from the outside. You know, I think it speaks to the bigger picture of, you know, sometimes it just feels like you said, they have this cavalier attitude about, you know, hey, we're just going to get to the playoffs and flip the switch and everything's going to be okay. And it's hard to sort of buy into that based on what you've seen. And yet, you know, I do think there's something to the notion that this team has sort of been built for the playoffs. And if Kyrie goes to that level, if they get any sort of help from the rest of the roster, I do think they're going to have some playoff success. And yet, like, I can't tell you how this whole thing's going to play out. It's just, you know, if they end up with that 5th seed, they're going to have to really fight to get through the Pacers. And they're probably not going to be a great competition, but they're still going to, they're scrappy and they're going to make you work. And I just worry that this team is making its path decidedly more difficult than it has to be. And that's sort of been a theme throughout the year.
What's your level of concern, Chris, when it comes to the defense the last 5 games? I mean, allowing 122.4 points per game on average, and what do you think is missing defensively?
Yeah, and I mean, I dial it back all the way to February 1. I think like they came into the month of February, I think ranked second, tied for second in the NBA in defensive rating, and it felt like they had sort of bought back into putting in the effort, and for whatever reason, since that point, they've had some really, really tough nights. You know, think about the 140-point night out in L.A. and some of the bigger point totals going on lately. So, you know, I don't know. I think it comes down to effort, and I think there are just nights where they're not willing to put in the work, or they get hit with those little runs, and or their offense is slumping, and they just like sort of they downshift for whatever reason, and it's, you know, it's certainly something of a concern. Again, what is the hallmark of Brad Stevens' team? A team that can ramp it up defensively, and we all know how much that matters in the postseason. Now, they still have all that potential, and if they're willing, and I think they will be more willing to put in that effort in the postseason, they can still be great defensively, and that's going to give them a chance most nights. But it's just, again, when those runs come, and that, I mean, I don't understand. It feels like maybe more than any other Celtics team, this team gets hit with 12-0 runs and 14-4 runs, and they just never seem to respond well to it, which is why a week ago when they sort of, even if it was the Hawks, bending off the Hawks after they came back from that big lead, and the Kings before that, it felt like, okay, maybe they're starting to show some toughness, ability to withstand these runs. But, you know, then to see it against the Sixers, and it's concerning. So the Nuggets, too. So I think it just comes down to effort with the defensive side. Are you willing to play good defense for 48 minutes regardless of what's happening out on the floor? And certainly, you know, there's smaller stuff like making sure you have Baines healthy to aid that second unit. All those things play into how good of a defensive team they can be.
Yeah, and I think there's a loss of focus at times, too. Certainly we've seen that, I think, with Jaylen Brown. But this goes back to something we talked about earlier in the year, Chris, that I've noticed. And I think you can have these defensive lapses when you have a team where there are too many guys who define themselves and their success through offense. And there aren't guys on the team who are forced to sort of take a secondary offensive role, which requires them to exert more effort on defense. I mean, even Marcus Smart this year with the threes, like he's like, I'm going to keep taking them. Like, it seems like all these guys now are like, well, I'm an offensive player.
It's a great point. And, I, you know, the first name that jumped to my mind is Marcus Morris, who, you know, gives you great flexibility, versatility at that four spot. You know, he was, when he was brought in, I remember thinking, all right, this is a guy that can go out there and guard LeBron for you. You know, but at the end of that Sixers game especially, he's the one that had a bunch of miscommunications. And listen, he owned it. But that's one guy you'd like really want to lean on defensively in the postseason. And yet, I do think you're right. Like, there's guys that are probably sitting there saying, well, if I'm not putting up points, I'm not impacting the game. And you got to sort of get past that and realize that you can really have a huge impact on this team just by putting in that effort defensively. And that goes for Jaylen Brown. I think it goes for Jason Tatum on the night that he's not scoring a lot. Like, you know, they've got guys that can defend, and yet when they don't get their point total, and for Rozier in there as well, like, you know, if Rozier just focuses on picking up full court and making things really difficult for second unit guards, you know, and doesn't worry about his points, like, he's really impactful. And so they need to make that a priority, and I'm sure that will be stressed. You know, the thing they got to remember, too, is, like, point totals here in the postseason are going to go down. Like, you know, you're not going to score 120 as easy as you did in the regular season. And so these guys just got to be willing to buy in defensively. And, again, they have the talent. Like, they can be really good. It's just a matter of, are they willing to work to be a great team?
Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston. Check out his Celtics coverage, NBCSportsBoston.com, and always catch him on NBC Sports Boston. He's the one with the high hair. It's like you really got like the Paul from Tekken hair going on. I know it's a random reference, but I get it, Chris. The higher the hair, the closer to God, as they say.
It's all about based on the product, and I'm running through hair gel like crazy now with this new one.
Thanks for taking the time, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, you too. Chris Forsberg coming to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All right, we're going to get to those Kyrie comments. Also, I want to know if you take the Pacers seriously, Chris, because they haven't gone away since they lost Victor Oladipo for the rest of the season with injury. And B-Rob, I want you to weigh in on that as well. So we'll get to that coming up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show right after these Sports Hub headlines with...
The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, when we talked about leadership and everybody questioning his leadership, you just saw leadership in that first quarter. I mean, he was not going to let the Celtics wander around. He got them immediately into the ball game, and they were playing very aggressively and very smart.
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs. Just makes no more, makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know, you're gearing up for, you know, some battles coming in the playoffs.
Yeah, don't question the leadership of one Kyrie Irving. All due respect, Tommy Heinsohn. Come on, love you, mean it. But
well, you know, we do love Tommy, but we look at things through green colored glasses. Al Horford on the Hawks, not very good. Not a guy you have to plan for, not a scorer. Al Horford on the Celtics, oh, all-time great.
Like, come on, dude. And that was Tommy at halftime of what was eventually a loss for the Celtics against the Philadelphia 76ers. And of course, that was the juxtaposition of what he had to say and Kyrie Irving before the loss to the Sixers and saying, I'm definitely taking games off. It's a Sports Hub Celtics show, 98.5 is Sports Hub. So Kyrie doesn't care about the seeding. Why should we, Chris? They'll have the Indiana Pacers, whether it's home or on the road. They would be better served to have home court in that, as it does matter in the NBA playoffs.
It certainly mattered last year in the first round, did it not?
And the Pacers only have 9 losses at home this season. Why aren't more people taking this team seriously? Because they're like the Celtics of the last couple of years. They lost their star in Victor Oladipo, but they still have some really good players like Miles Turner.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, Sabonis is good 2 from 3. Like, they're not going to go
away.
Bogdanovich, like, they haven't gone away. Why are people just looking at this like, the Pacers don't have Oladipo, not going to be an issue?
Again, obviously the loss of Oladipo is huge because he's their best player, and I think people just sort of feel like when you get in the playoffs and you're playing the same team every night and it becomes more about talent, not effort. And this was the issue, I thought, with the Celtics over the years, the prior Celtics, the Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder Celtics. They played so hard every night to their credit during the regular season. They gave you max effort. But then you get in the postseason, and now the more talented teams, the teams that subscribe to the Kyrie Irving theory about the regular season, they get into the postseason, and now they're giving max effort. And where do you have to go? You don't have anything else there. You can't raise your game. Those teams can. And I think that's one of the reasons people maybe aren't buying into the Pacers, is it feels like without Oladipo, they bonded together, and you're seeing it. You see max effort. They're a very well-coached team, I think. You know, Nate McMillan doesn't get enough credit there. But from a talent standpoint, and there's talented guys on that roster, you don't have your most talented guy, and can they take it to another level? Can they raise their game to another level in the postseason when a team they're facing, like the Celtics, keeps telling us they are going to raise their game to another level? And certainly based on what we've seen this year, we know the Celtics are capable of playing better and playing at a higher level.
Yeah, and then there's some that actually think that things are kind of playing out in the Celtics' favor right now. Granted, you like to have better seating, but it's not such a bad thing. And I think, McCone, you're one of these people, because Jones was talking about this as well. Like, getting the Bucks in the second round isn't as scary as it was a couple of weeks ago, because now they're dealing with some bad injuries. Nick Mirotic is out for up to 4 weeks with a broken thumb. There's a plantar fasciitis issue with Malcolm Brogdon. So maybe they're not as scary as they once were. So, I don't know, make your case here, McCone. Like, you don't think it could be all that bad, considering where they are?
Look, I'm a little nervous about Indiana. The one thing I'll say about the Pacers is that when you look at the schedule, and they have managed to stay afloat since Oladipo played, but they haven't really beaten anyone of note. Like, a lot of the wins that they've had haven't been against great competition. And then, yeah, look, Milwaukee scares me. But when you look at them versus Toronto and Brogdon being out and those guys missing potentially, it looks like, as bad as this has been for the Celtics, the 5 seed might not be the worst thing in the world in terms of the draw you're going to get in the Eastern Conference. So, I don't know. You could luck yourself into an Eastern Conference final, and then against Toronto, who knows what happens.
Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. Should we be taking the Pacers a little bit more seriously?
They play hard, Jim. If that's the best thing you can say about a team, it's not great. But for this Celtics team right now, that's a scary thing. They're a top 3 defensive team, so you're not going to, you know, be able to do anything you want against them. But with that said, there is no one on this team from offensive standpoint that should scare the Celtics. Like, if they play up to their capabilities and are locked in, they should take care of business here. And yeah, from a matchup standpoint, I think I would want to face them over even like the Nets or the Pistons, just in terms of like a pure talent standpoint, I think.
Speaking of the Nets, let's bring in Cam in Taunton. You're next here on the Sports Show. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, Jim? I just want to take a moment here. Can we all just take a moment and laugh at the Los Angeles Lakers? Because how fitting is it to that it's D'Angelo Russell who goes in there last night and ends their season? Because, I mean, I know we've had a disappointing year ourselves, but by the time the Lakers get anybody for LeBron, he's going to be 37 because Kawhi feels like he's got no interest in going there. Durant feels like he's got no interest in going there. Kyrie's not going to go there. It's either here or New York. He's not going back to LeBron. And the earliest Davis can get there is when LeBron's 37 years old. So let's all just take a moment and laugh at the misery of the Los Angeles Lakers because this is hysterical.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Cam. I can't believe that they ultimately ended up missing the playoffs. And it really, to me, stems from how everything was handled at the trade deadline and them sniffing up the keister of Anthony Davis and trying to get him and the way they got played by the New Orleans Pelicans, because that completely gutted that team from a psychological standpoint.
They also had some injuries that hurt him. I mean, you know, Brandon Ingram's injury, it was a shoulder, and then it became, thoracic outlet. That hurt him. I remember watching a game they played against the Clippers. That was a pretty big game for them. They're probably going to lose the game anyway, but Kyle Kuzma twisted his ankle. And I also just think, I look at that roster, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, like what they put together, it wasn't good. It stunk. I mean, no, you had guys that are too young, not proven in the league, and then guys that are washed up like Rajon Rondo and Lance Stevenson, but they're also, not only did you get washed up guys, you got stubborn, recalcitrant, hard to deal with washed up guys. Like, what are you doing? You're killing your coach when you do that. And they didn't surround LeBron with enough shooting. You know, look, I didn't think Magic Johnson was a very good coach. I don't think he's a very good player personnel guy either.
Have you paid attention to what's going on with that Nets team as of late? Pretty frisky.
Yeah.
Toronto might get a tough matchup against them.
Well, D'Angelo Russell's had a breakout year. We all know Joe Harris won the three-point shooting contest. You know, guys like Spencer Dinwiddie put up numbers for them. Jared Allen is a guy that he'll challenge anybody in the league at the rim. They have some nice pieces. They built, you know, with Kenny Atkinson, they built a nice culture there. Even when they were losing the last couple of years, you could see that they were building a culture, again, of accountability and responsibility. That's what they have. It's sort of similar to what the Celtics have had in the past with Brad Stevens. And sometimes that goes a long way, and you can sort of, you know, outkick your coverage when it comes to how much talent you have. And then, again, Russell has just had a tremendous year, a breakout year, was an all-star this year. So they're interesting. They have some pieces. There's life after that terrible Billy King deal where Danny Ainge completely swindled him. Billy King basically tried to assassinate the franchise, and now there's life for the Nets.
617-779-0985. You want to talk Celtics. They are in action tonight as well. It is the Celtics and Charlotte Hornets. Aaron Baines out, but will he be back sooner than we think? We'll have an update on Aaron Baines for you coming up in our long commercial-free segment. More of your Celtics calls as well here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Jim Murray and Chris Gasper. And you at 617.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
McConnell to the right. McConnell hard to the basket. No. Rebound Marjanovic underneath. Lost the basketball. Out of bounds off his knee. Celtics ball. Marjanovic had a dunk.
Baines down.
And Aaron Baines is down underneath the Celtics basket.
Marcus is down.
Smart is okay. I mean, just grabbing a hold of Boban was difficult. And now they've reversed the call. I believe they've given the ball back to Philadelphia after a conversation.
Still down. He got hit.
Baines has not gotten up yet.
I think he got hit in the lower man area, and that was it. He hopefully did that instead of twisted. Oh man, he might have twisted his knee again.
Yep, he's hobbling off.
It's day to day. I don't think it was a terribly bad ankle sprain. I don't think it's going to be 3 weeks, but I think that it's just a day to day injury, and you know we'll obviously be careful, and we need everybody healthy by playoffs.
President of Basketball Ops for the Celtics, Danny Ainge, on with Toucher and Rich late this week, talking about Aaron Baines, who unfortunately, Cedric Maxwell, he didn't get hit in the jimmy. No, he twisted his ankle, and it really sounded bad initially. I mean, the report after the game was he's going to be out weeks, which is bad considering the interior defense for the Celtics. He had an MRI in the ankle yesterday, though. Came back encouraging, according to head coach Brad Stevens. Baines back in Boston, and he could play as soon as Sunday, so very encouraging there. It is the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. But Baines won't play tonight. Gordon Hayward still out in the NBA concussion protocol. Al Horford still dealing with left knee soreness. He is out, as it's the Celtics and the Charlotte Hornets with tip-off. 6 o'clock, catch that, 105.7 WROR. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell. It's Kyrie Irving's 27th birthday today, though, guys. Do we expect him to play tonight, considering he just said days ago, I'm definitely taking games off?
I mean, I would expect him to play in this one, but as you look at it, right, if they're trying to somehow manage, you know, this is the new NBA term, load management for these guys, right? You look at this one, this is a back-to-back, and then you have a back-to-back next weekend with Indiana and Brooklyn. So if I look at all the teams and involved in those games, this would probably be the one I'd sit him. I mean, the health of the other guys withstanding, this might be one where I would sit Kyrie Irving. So I think he'll play, but if they're looking at these back-to-backs and saying we have to manage him tonight, if he sat out, would kind of make sense if you're going to play it that way.
Peter in Jamaica playing on Kyrie Irving. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. I'm going back to March 1st real quick because there's some glaring discrepancies. When Kyrie, they were 0-6. I think you guys know this. And they were 0-6 with Kyrie, 6-0 without. Offensively, they were 114 without Kyrie, 107 with Kyrie. But this is the glaring number right here, okay? With Kyrie in the lineup, they gave up 119 points a game. Without him in the lineup, they gave up 101 points a game, which is pretty much first in the league where they were last year. In defensively, when they have Brown, Smart, and Rozier as their guards, they're a much better. There's no other explanation. And it's kind of pissing me off that people are saying Brown isn't playing hard enough, Rozier isn't playing. The numbers are there. When Kyrie's on the floor, they're not a good defensive team. And when he's off the floor, they're like last year. They're a great defensive team. And the numbers don't lie. So,
well, B-Rob, I'll defer to you. Is he the linchpin of defensive suck?
He was in February, but he's been better since that plane ride. Like, he's trying now. And the numbers, like, the schedule, when Kyrie has sack games, they've played terrible teams.
Correct.
By and large. And so that skews the numbers when you're dealing with, like, an 8 or 10 game sample size. And so, like, Terry Rozier, it's, you know, plays great in those games, but he's been pretty terrible on the year as a whole. So, like, I'm not, you know, Kyrie has had his issues this year. We've talked about them a lot. I'm not going to get on him for his defense lately. Could it be better? Absolutely. Like everyone else on this team. But you're going to need Kyrie if you want to go anywhere this postseason based on how the rest of these guys are playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the other thing. So, okay, we all know, we knew when Kyrie Irving came here, he's not a great defensive player. That's not a newsflash. We get it, right? But does that absolve the other guys on the court from not, is that why, and you know, this is my guy, Jaylen Brown. But when you're playing the Nuggets and some guy runs by you for a layup and you look like you're standing there in the grocery line as it happens, is that Kyrie Irving's fault? Like, that's the part about the, like, when people just throw out numbers like that. Like, are you watching the games? Do you see when there's a breakdown, when Marcus Morris messes up and doesn't know what's happening communication-wise? Is that on Kyrie Irving? Like, I give it to you. Kyrie Irving is not a good defender. Terry Rozier is a better defender. No question about it. But that's just crazy when you start saying stuff like that to the point where your point becomes, I'm absolving every other player on the roster from their underperformance and their mistakes defensively because there's this one guy who's out there. That makes no sense to me.
Scott in Newton with a thought on the Pacers. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Chris, before I get to that, how bad is that Florida State football team going to be this year?
I think we'll be a little bit better. You know, we'll see how it's going. They need to upgrade the offensive line, but new offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, and new offensive line coach. So, you know, as long as they can block it up a little bit, which they couldn't do at all last year, I think they'll be better. Which isn't saying much.
No, it's pretty sad, isn't it?
It is sad. It's very frustrating.
Let's go to the Celtics. Okay, two things. First of all, Indiana, let's not even bring them into discussion, please. Their schedule is very difficult. They're going to be a 5 seed. The Celtics' schedule is easy. And Indiana, even when they are at full strength, the Celtics always dominate them. The last game, they beat my 30 points. So Indiana shouldn't even be even in discussion, okay? Second, why does Brad Stevens get a free ride on this radio station, okay? I know he comes on once a week. The guy has done a horrible, horrible job. This team, with all the talent they have, they've been injury-free basically a whole year. They should be 25 or 30 games, over 500 at least. Stop blaming Kyrie for everything. It's the coach. It's his responsibility to be the leader, not the players, okay? It all starts with the coach, and this man here gets away with everything in this town because he comes on the station once a week, and no one wants to say a word about this man.
All right, Scott, you must not listen to Adam Jones, Knights here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, who portrays Brad Stevens as a Midwestern doofus who says G. Willikers.
G. Willikers. He always says the G. Willikers thing.
I would recommend tuning into Jones. But I did say, I said this yesterday. Look, I think myself and Philburn Maz have been critical of him. You know, to say he's skated, I think, is going too far one way. But in terms of if you were to draw up the old blame pie, he hasn't got a big enough chunk. It's been a down year for him.
Well, you know, look, anytime you look at a coach, I think the way you evaluate a coach is, did he put his players in a position to succeed, and did he maximize the talent that he was given? And I think it's fair to look at what Brad has done this year and to look at this team and to answer no to both of those questions. I think it's also fair to say that it's not 100% his fault. I think he was given a roster of pieces that, while it looks good on paper, the pieces don't necessarily fit because there aren't guys that want to accept roles, and that's what they need, role players. And that's, and that goes to something that earlier on we talked about with some of these guys. Like, when I look at some of their players who are quote-unquote leaders, like Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, I love those guys, and I love the way they play, and I love the edge that they bring. I really do. But the fact that those are some of the leaders on your team, to me, is problematic because they are emotionally volatile guys, and really, in the hierarchy of the NBA, they're not at a high enough level for me to be, like, quote-unquote leaders. And I think there are times that those guys need to sort of stay in their role player box and not get outside of it and start making comments, you know, like Marcus Morris at times. I think the no, this has been no fun, right? We're not having any fun. He talked about that. You remember this year when he said, you know, he just declared himself one of the leaders on the team.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart talking about what happened with Embiid and saying, like, I don't get the same consideration as some guys like Russell Westbrook. Really? Do you think there's any possible reason that you would not be given the same consideration as Russell Westbrook, who for the third year in a row is going to average a triple-double? Is there any possible reason that maybe NBA – and by the way, with Smart, I think he does get a lot of leeway from officials who respect and recognize his game as one of the great defenders in the league. I think he gets away with being more physical than other defenders. I think that when – he flops on a charge, they give it to him because they're like, this guy is one of the best in the league at taking charges. So I think he does get calls. But I think there's too many guys here who are sort of like, you know, stepping outside of their roles.
All right, I see some of you guys still want to talk Celtics, so we'll continue to do that here as there's no commercials. It's just going to be Tim McCone getting you caught up in the Sports Hub headlines with some big Bruins news today. Both good and bad. So McCone's going to get you caught up with that. And then right back to you if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. It's Casper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.